So we're there in Jeremiah 42. And to get a little bit of context, in Jeremiah 42, we come in the time that is right after the captivity. At this time, the nation of Judah has just been taken captive. And in the land, in the nation of Judah, we see that there's a remnant that is still there. There's a few people who did not go into captivity. And these people, they decide to go into the land of Egypt. They decide to flee Judah to go find safety in Egypt. And on their way, these people, the remnant, the few that are there, they decide to ask Jeremiah what the Lord thinks. They decide to go to the man of God and say, hey, what does God think about this decision? And it's always good when you're making a decision to go to the man of God, to go to the Lord and ask him, hey, is this the right decision? So here in Jeremiah 42, we see that they go to Jeremiah and ask him what they think. Jeremiah 42, look at verse number 1 again. The Bible says, then all the captains of the forces and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. So here we see the people, they go to Jeremiah, and they say, hey, Jeremiah, would you please pray for us? Would you please go to the Lord and ask him, is this the right thing for us to do? Is it right for us to go into Egypt? What does God want us to do? So Jeremiah responds to them, verse number 4. It says in verse 4, then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing that the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. And so get the story. Now these people, their lives have just been ruined. They were taken into captivity. Their lands have been taken. Their families have been taken. Their spouses, their children, everything's been taken from them. And so now they decide to go to the Lord. And this is usually how people come to church. People come to church or they seek the Lord because their lives are in disarray, because their lives are dismayed, because things aren't going well. And so they go to Jeremiah and say, hey, now, what is it that God wants us to do? But notice we get the response from the Lord. So Jeremiah goes to God and he prays for 10 days. And then we get a response from God 10 days later. Look at verse number 9. We see the response from the Lord to their supplication. In verse number 9, the Bible says, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him. Notice it says, if you will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down. See, the answer from the Lord is to what? Is to abide in this land. He said, if you will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Verse 11, he said, be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you. So God tells the people, hey, if you abide here, then I'll take care of you. Don't go into Egypt. I want you to stay here so I can build you, so I can plant you. He said, don't be afraid of the king of Babylon. Look at verse number 19. It says, the Lord hath said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah. He said, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I've admonished you this day. So the response from the Lord is crystal clear. God says, hey, don't go to Egypt. God says, I want you to abide in the land. The people go to Jeremiah because they want to go to Egypt. And God says, don't go, stay here. And in this time, you know, you'd figure that these people would be all up in arms, ready to obey the Lord, considering that their nation was just taken captive for the fact that they had disobeyed the Lord. You know, you'd figure now you're going to obey God. Now that your life is a mess, now that everything's been taken, your family's kidnapped, your lands are gone, you'd figure now these people are actually going to listen to what God has to say. So these people, they want to go to Egypt, but God clearly says, hey, don't go. So what do the people decide to do? We'll go to Jeremiah 43. Jeremiah chapter 43. And let's get the response from the people. Jeremiah 43, look at verse number 2. The Bible says, then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go into Egypt to sojourn there. They basically called Jeremiah a false prophet. He said, Jeremiah, he said, thou speakest falsely. He said, God didn't tell you that, Jeremiah. Look at verse number 7. Look at verse number 4. It says, so Johanan, in verse 4, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Egypt. Notice verse 7. It says, so they came into the land of Egypt. And so these people, their lives are a mess. They're in captivity for not obeying the Lord. They go to the prophet. They go to the man of God. They say, man of God, what should we do? What does God want us to do? God says, stay. They say, no, we're going anyway. They say, no, we're going to disobey anyway. And this is nothing new. You know, Jeremiah was not taken aback. He was not surprised at this response. And here's the thing. Most preachers are not surprised that most of their preaching is not taken into consideration. That most people don't listen to what God says. Most people don't obey with the word of the Lord, even though their lives are in dismay, even though their lives are ruined. They come to church. They want to know what God says. God tells them, and they say, no, I'm going to disobey anyway. But notice, Jeremiah, he wasn't surprised. He wasn't taken aback. Jeremiah 42, look at verse number 19. Jeremiah 42, 19, the Bible says, the Lord hath said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah. He said, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. And notice what he says in verse 20. And this is before the people gave their response. In verse 20, Jeremiah said this. He said, for ye dissembled in your hearts. Jeremiah looked at these people and he said, ye dissembled in your hearts. The word dissemble means to conceal one's true motives. See, the people, they seem sincere. They seem genuine. But Jeremiah said, no, you weren't sincere in your motives. Jeremiah knew that these people, they wanted to go to Egypt. They knew that's what they were going to do anyway, but that they were going to do what they're going to do. So look at keep reading verse number 20. It says, when he sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. Verse 21, and now I have this day declared it to you. Notice, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he hath sent me unto you. Notice Jeremiah, he didn't have to wait for the people to respond. Jeremiah said, you're not even going to obey it. You haven't obeyed before, and you're not going to obey again. And this is nothing new. See, Jeremiah was not taken aback at the fact that people disobeyed the word of the Lord. In fact, this was sort of a theme in the ministry of Jeremiah. When God tells him what to preach, he gives people the word of God, and people just don't even want to listen to it. People don't even hear it. You're there in Jeremiah 42. Keep your place there, but go quickly to Jeremiah chapter number 7. Jeremiah 7. And we'll see throughout the ministry of Jeremiah, the majority of people, they didn't hearken unto his word. And it's the same way in church. You know, if you ask most pastors, say, hey, do most people in your church, do they apply the word of God? And most of the time, the answer probably is no. You know, it's few and far between the people who actually hear the word of God and apply it in their lives. Jeremiah 7, look at verse number 27. Here we have the Lord talking about the ministry of Jeremiah. Here we have the Lord talking to Jeremiah. He says, therefore thou to Jeremiah shall speak all these words unto them. Notice, it says, but they will not hearken to thee. And thou shalt call unto them, but they will not answer thee. See, God told Jeremiah that the ministry you're going to lead, Jeremiah, will be one where you preach the word of God boldly. Where you're going to give people, thus saith the Lord. But guess what? People will not listen to you. People won't respond to you, but preach it anyway. Let them know anyway. And these people here in Jeremiah 42, they're no different. They were like everyone else. These people came and they went. They came to the man of God. They wanted to hear the truth. Their lives were a mess. They said, tell me what I need to do. God tells them and they just go. And the sad truth is that today in Christianity, there's people who come and go. And it's something that's common that our pastor says frequently, that one thing you'll notice in the ministry is that people come and go. And the truth is, it's hard to find the Christian who's been serving God faithfully for 20 30 plus years. You know, people like that are few and far between, but most people are like these people in Jeremiah 42 when they come and they go. When they come because their life is a mess, when they come because they need some answers, when they come because they want to know what God says to do in their lives, they hear what God says, they hear the word of the Lord, but they decide to not apply it and they say, no, we're going to go. We're going to flee to Egypt. And tonight I want to preach about these people who come and go. Because there are some characteristics about people who come and they go. And if I were to ask you, and if you were to ask me, most people, they don't want to be just, you know, people who come and go. You know, most people would say, hey, I'm in this for the long haul. Most people will say, hey, I want to be a Christian. I want to serve the Lord. I want to be a soul winner. I want to be in church. I want to be faithful to God for the rest of my life. Most people would say that. You know, what most people won't say is that, well, I'm just going to try it for a little bit and see how it goes. You know, most people don't want to be these people who just come and they go. But people, this is what happens. The majority of people, they'll hear the word of God, but they won't apply it. And they come and they go. So I want to give you some four characteristics of people who come and go, because you don't want to be these people. But one thing you'll notice is that if you're The longer you're saved, you'll see that people will come and people will go. And there's some things we can take note about these people that you should be aware of. So number one this evening, people who come and go are all talk. People who come and go are all talk. You're there in Jeremiah 42, look at verse number 5. Jeremiah 42, verse 5, the Bible says, I want you to notice how the people come to Jeremiah. I want you to notice the sincerity, the conviction. They said in verse number 5, then they said to Jeremiah, notice, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. Notice how spiritual they come across with their words. He said, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. Notice, if we do not even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Notice these people, they come across with their words as very spiritual. And notice what they're saying. They're saying, hey, we're going to do everything you say, Jeremiah. We'll do all things. Verse 6, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Notice these people sound confident. These people who came, they say, Jeremiah, whatever you tell me, Jeremiah, that's what I'm going to do. You know, whatever you tell me, whatever God wants me to do in my life, that's what I'll do. And look, this is how people come to church sometimes. People come to church and they'll say, hey, I'm here and I'm going to be three to thrive. I'm here and I'm going to be a faithful soul winner. I'm here and I'm your man. I'm going to be faithful. But then they come and they go. And what happens is verse number 7, it says, and it came to pass, notice, after 10 days. See, God waited for 10 days to respond because sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes people come because they're emotional. They need some help. They say, I'm here. I'm in it for the long haul. But just 10 days later, what happens? They're gone. 10 days, 10 months, 10 weeks, whatever it is, they come and they go. And the truth is that talk is cheap. See, these people, they spoke a big game. They say, hey, we'll do everything. Here, place there in Jeremiah 42, we'll go to Proverbs chapter number 27. Proverbs 27. And look, you don't want to be these people. These people who come and go. These people who come and go are all talk. And look, these people seem genuine. But when you come and go in the Christian life, whether or not you are genuine, because you may be genuine, at the end of the day, everything you said was all talk. Everything you said meant nothing because you just quit, because you just left. So whether or not you are genuine, it doesn't make a difference. At the end of the day, it was all talk. Proverbs 27, look at verse number 1. Proverbs 27, 1, the Bible says, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Bible says here in verse 1, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. What does it mean to boast? To boast means to talk with excessive pride and self-satisfaction about one's achievements, possessions, or abilities. It says you shouldn't be prideful and talking arrogantly and boastfully and pridefully about the things of tomorrow. Because the truth is, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It says, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And people who came to this church and they said, hey, I'm your man, Pastor Jimenez. I'm going to be here three times a week. I'm going to be a faithful soul winner. I'm never going to quit. They end up quitting. Why? Because they boasted about the things of tomorrow. They didn't think about the struggles that are going to come ahead. They didn't think about the fact that there's going to be trials, there's going to be hard times, and at the end of the day, talk is cheap. And any one of us can boast and brag about how great of a Christian we're going to be for the rest of our lives, but the truth is, we don't know. And the Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. None of us know the trials or tribulations that are coming down our way. Yes, we all hope and pray that we make it to the end, but we shouldn't boast and brag and just assume that we're going to have victory in our life, because truth is, we don't know. And there's a famous verse in 1 Kings 20, verse 11. I'll just read it for you. It says, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. Ahab told this to King Ben-Hadad. He said, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. Meaning, look, if you just got in the game, if you just started a fight, don't assume you're going to win. Don't just start counting victory and just assume it's going to be okay for you, because the truth is, you don't know what's going to happen in the future. And the truth is that talk is cheap. Keep your place here in Proverbs, if you would, but go to Luke chapter 9. Luke 9. So these people came to Jeremiah, and they were all talk. They were big game. They said, Jeremiah, whatever you say, I'm going to do it. But these people, at the end of the day, they were all talk. Luke chapter number 9, look at verse number 57, Luke 9, 57. And the truth is about talking and bragging is the truth is that God is not looking for the people who brag. God's not interested in what you say you're going to do. God's not interested in you bragging. God wants you to be faithful. Luke 9, look at verse number 57, the Bible says, and it came to pass that as he went in the way, notice a certain man said unto him, he said, Lord, notice what this man says to Jesus. He said, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Notice this man, he's just bragging, say, Jesus, I'm going to be with you until the end. He said, I'll do whatever, Jesus. I'll follow you wherever you go. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll be with you. I'm there for you. But notice the response from the Lord in verse 58. It says, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. See, Jesus looked at this guy and he said, you don't even know what you're getting yourself into. And notice in the next verse, he says, and he said unto another, follow me. See, the guy who was all boastful and bragging and saying, Jesus, I'll be with you whithersoever thou goest. Jesus looked at him and said, you don't even know what you're talking about. He said, you don't understand what you're saying. He said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Why? Because people don't think when they say things. It's a hard life when you choose to serve the Lord. But this guy said, you know what? Hey, I'm bragging, I'm boasting. I'll be there till the end. And Jesus said to somebody else, he said, follow me. To the guy who wasn't bragging, to the guy who wasn't boasting, he said, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He said, you follow me. So this guy who was all boastful and bragging, Jesus didn't even choose him. Was he sincere? Maybe. But God just knew, you know what? You can boast and brag all you want, but at the end of the day, that's not going to get you anywhere because talk is cheap. You're there in Luke 9, but go back to Proverbs chapter 120. Keep your place in Luke, if you would, but go back to Proverbs 20. So people who come and go, what's a characteristic is that those people are all talk. And look, I've heard people come to this church and say, yeah, I'm in it. I'm here for the long haul. I'm never going to leave. And then 10 days, 10 weeks, 10 months go by, and they're gone. You see what happens? It was all talk. And this is not the type of Christians that you and I should be. You say, what type of Christian should I be? Well, Proverbs 20, look at verse number 6. Proverbs 26. It says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. See, most men, the majority of people, they have no problem telling you how great they are. They have no problem telling you how faithful they're going to be. They have no problem telling you how wonderful they're going to be, how wonderful of a spouse or a parent or a mother or father they're going to be, or a soul winner. They have no problem telling you. But notice what it says. It says, but a faithful man who can find. See, there's a difference between those who are proclaiming their greatness, their goodness, but it says God's looking for a faithful man. And if we were to ask Pastor Jimenez, hey, Pastor Jimenez, how many men have come by to you and said, Pastor Jimenez, I'm your man. I'm your guy. I'm here. I'm faithful. We're going to be sold out. And then they're gone. See, the truth is, if you want to impress people, you impress people by being faithful. Not with your words, not boasting and gloating how great you're going to be. Why don't you just choose to be one of these few who are just a faithful man? See, the faithful man is hard to find. But those who are boastful and bragging, those are a dime a dozen. People are just boasting. And we live in a day where people just boast and just glory and proclaim their own goodness. You know, we have, with social media, we have all these keyboard warriors who have no problem boasting and bragging about how spiritual they are. And they want to criticize pastors who are actually doing something for God. And I wonder to myself, these people who boast and brag online, I wonder how faithful you are to your local church. Now, I wonder how faithful you are to soul winning. I wonder how faithful you are to reading your Bible and to prayer. But no, most men, what they want to do is they just want to proclaim their own goodness. Look how spiritual I am. But God says, hey, I'm not interested in that. God's looking for who? For the faithful men. So you, don't be the people who come and go. At the end of the day, they're all talk. You ought to strive to be the Christian who's focused on just being faithful. And why is it that people brag? Why is it that people boast? It's to impress other people. But at the end of the day, God knows. God knows who you are. God knows what you're doing. And faithfulness, quietly being faithful, just do what you should do for the Lord, that will get you more respect than anything. Instead of you just boasting and proclaiming, I'm going to be great, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, just focus on being faithful. And we had a great sermon this morning about Mother's Day. And you know, you think about young people who aren't married yet. And you know, young people assume, I'm just going to be the best husband, or I'm going to be the best wife, or the best mother and the best father. Look, you got to just focus on being faithful on what you should be doing right now. Boasting on how great you're going to be in the future will not magically make you that. You got to focus on just being faithful now so that when the time comes, you will be ready for that time. But these people, they sounded great. They were all talk, but at the end of the day, that's all they were. They were all talk. Because why? Because people who come and go are all talk. And at the end of the day, look, they may be sincere. They may have meant well, but when they leave, at the end of the day, it was just talk and it meant nothing. Go back to Jeremiah 42. Keep your place there in Proverbs. Go to Jeremiah 42 again. So number one this evening, I said people who come and go are all talk. But number two, people who come and go seek convenience. People who come and go seek convenience. In Jeremiah 42, I want to show you what was it about Egypt that drew these people. Why did these people want to go to Egypt? Jeremiah 42, look at verse number 13. It says, but if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord our God, saying no, but we will go into the land of Egypt. Notice what they're looking for. Or we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. You know, what was the temptation in Egypt? It was the fact that there was no war. The fact that there was no sound of a trumpet. The fact that there was no hunger of bread. See, these people, what they were searching for in life was convenience. They were looking for the easy way out. And why is it that people come and people go? It's because they're seeking convenience. It's because of the fact they come to this church and they start having some trials and some temptations and they look into Egypt and they think, you know what? It seems a lot easier in Egypt, so I'm just going to go to Egypt. And these people, what they seek is convenience. They don't want to see war. They don't want to see battle. And this is the reason why most people don't serve the Lord. Because look, it's not convenient to serve God. It's not convenient to be a faithful soul winner. It's not convenient to go to church three times a week. It takes effort. It takes work. It's not easy to read your Bible every day, to pray every day. Those things are difficult, which is why most people who come and go, what they're searching for is convenience. Go back to Luke, if you would. Luke, keep placing in Jeremiah, but go back to Luke. And it's natural, you know, generally people will seek the path of least resistance. You know, they'll seek whatever's easiest for them. And the Christian life, people come and they get excited, they're on board, and some time goes by and they realize, hey, this is kind of hard. Hey, this is a little bit difficult. And Egypt seems a lot more tempting now. And in Luke 14, we see that most people didn't follow the Lord because it wasn't convenient. Luke 14, look at verse number 25, it says, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, notice, here we have Jesus speaking to thousands, you know, thousands of people followed the Lord. It said, great multitudes were with him. And notice what he said to them, verse 26, he said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, it says, he cannot be my disciple. You know, Jesus looked at the people, the thousands, and said, look, if you want to come after me, realize it's not going to be convenient. Realize it's not going to be easy. Realize you're going to have to make some sacrifice. Verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And you look at this life, you know, a life where you have to forsake people, where you have to carry a cross every day, and you think, you know, why would I want to do that? That doesn't sound convenient. And look, Egypt will look real convenient when you're focused on the burden, when you're focused on bearing the cross. Look at verse 33. It says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And here we see a reason why most people, they don't follow the Lord. Why most people won't be faithful to church. Why most people will not go soul winning, because it's not convenient. It's going to cost you something, and this is why people leave. People leave because they realize, hey, this is actually harder than it seems, so I'm just going to go. Go, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2. But the truth is about the Christian life is that God has called you and I to endure the hard times. God has called us to endure the hard times. And if you're going to make it in the long haul, if you're going to make it in the Christian life, you got to realize there's going to be hard times. Look, if you find someone who's been saved for 20, 30 plus years serving the Lord, and you ask them, hey, has it been difficult? They're all going to say yes. Because it's not easy. It's not a life of convenience, but you know what? It's a sacrifice you got to be willing to make. Amen. You got to choose to sacrifice because God gave you everything. He died for you to save you. You should choose to let it all go and just bury that cross and endure to the end.
Right.
But people who come and go, they leave because guess what? At some point, it wasn't convenient anymore. It was convenient at first, when it was easy, when you were down, but now that you don't need it, now it seems a little bit difficult, now you decide to go. And look, people won't tell you why they leave. Truth is, when you ask people, hey, why'd you quit church? They'll never tell you the truth. But the truth is, it got inconvenient, it got too difficult, so they decided to quit and leave. But God has called you and I to endure the hard times. 2 Timothy 2, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." It says, "Thou therefore," notice, "endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." See, when it comes to those times of inconvenience, to those times of difficulty, God has called us to endure the hardness. In 2 Timothy 4:5, he says, "Endure afflictions." So when it comes to those hard times, for those of you who are still in it, realize God has called you to just endure the hard times, endure those afflictions. Will it be painful? Yes. Will it be difficult? Yes. But you know what? That's just the Christian life. And you got to choose to not be these people who come and go and just say, you know what, even though it's not convenient, I'm going to do it anyway. You may ask, well, why should I endure the hard times? Go back to Jeremiah 42. Why would you want to endure? Why would I want to seek the Lord? It seems too inconvenient. It seems too difficult to be a Christian. It seems too hard. Why would I want to? Why would I not want to go to Egypt and just relax and see no battles and see no wars? The truth is because God is not in Egypt. Jeremiah 42, look at verse number 10. It says, "If you will still abide in this land," notice, "then will I build you." See, in those times of trials, in those times of afflictions where God wants you in his will, those are the times that God will build you. He says, "Will I build you and not pull you down? And I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you." Notice verse 11. "Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord." Notice, "for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand." You say, why would you want to endure afflictions? Why would you want to live a life that is difficult sometimes? Because, you know, that's where God is. You know, God is in his will. God wants you in his will, and that's where God is. You know, God is not in Egypt. So when people leave for the sake of convenience, they're leaving the blessings and the pleasures and the benefits of serving the Lord. Because God's not going to build you in Egypt. God's not going to establish you in Egypt. God says, no, I'm here with you where I want you to be in Judah. I don't want you to go. I want to build you. I want to plan you. I'm with you. But if you go to Egypt, I'm not going to be with you. I'm not going to build you, and I'm not going to establish you. And people don't think about the fact that when they leave the will of God, they are leaving God. You know, they're leaving the blessings and the protections from the Lord. And all these people who come and go, you know, they lost a great opportunity to be built by God, to have their faith increased. Every time you come to a difficult time in your life as a Christian, realize that that is a moment where God can build you. See, the answer never is to quit. The answer is never to quit and leave. No, the answer is to go through it, trusting in the Lord, and realize that those are the times where he's going to build you in his life. Those are the times that he's going to establish you. He's going to build you up and increase your faith. He says, I'm with you, but just don't go into Egypt. And people don't think about the cost that it is to go to Egypt. You know, Egypt, the people left for convenience, but the truth is convenience at the end of the day will cost you. Jeremiah 42, look at verse number 22. I want you to notice what it cost these people in verse 22. It says, Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence in the place whither ye desire to go and to sojourn. See, to these people, Egypt seemed like a better option. But Jeremiah said, you're not understanding the fact that, look, if you go there, you're going to die. If you go there, it's going to cost you more than you're willing to pay. And people leave church, people leave the will of God because it seems easier, but God says, no, it's actually going to cost you more when you leave the will of God. So God says, don't go. And look, you got to think about the fact that when you leave the will of God, look, it's going to come at a hefty price in the end. But people who come and go, this is what they seek. People who come and go, people who come and say, I'm here, I'm in it for the long haul, I'll be a faithful man of God, I'll be faithful at church, they leave because it just wasn't convenient. And they look at Egypt and they say, Egypt just seems a little bit easier, and they decide to go. So number one, people who come and go are all talk. Number two, people who come and go seek convenience. And number three, people who come and go are short-sighted. People who come and go are short-sighted. Jeremiah 42, look at verse number 15. I want you to notice that these people, their plan wasn't to live in Egypt. Their plan was to go there for just a little bit. Verse 15, the Bible says, "And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt," notice, "and go to sojourn there." See, these people, their plan wasn't to live in Egypt. They looked at Egypt as just a short temporary thing. I'm just going to go there for a little bit, you know, stay safe, and it's just going to be temporary. Verse 17, so shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt. Notice, to sojourn there. And so with these people who come and go, these people who go to Egypt, they're not saying, hey, I'm going to go there forever. No, they're saying, I'm just going to go for a little bit. And they're so short-sighted that they don't see the big picture of their life. But people who come and go are short-sighted. What happens? They have a trial like these people. These people, they're in captivity. Things are going well. An obstacle in their life comes, and they're so focused on that obstacle, they just need to get it fixed right now. They just have to have it fixed right away. And instead of doing what God says, which, yes, may take time, which, yes, may be a little more difficult, but they decide, no, I need to fix it right now. I need to get this fixed right now, so I'm just going to do it immediately. And they have such a short-sighted view on life is that they don't see the big picture around them of what's going on. Go, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians 4. But this is how people are who come and go. People who come and go are short-sighted. They don't see the big picture in life. You know, I often want to ask these people who come to a church like this, they're faithful for a while, and then they just quit. I want to ask them, you know, did you think about your kids when you made that decision? You know, I wonder what kind of kids you're going to raise when they don't go to church, when they don't hear the word of God preached, when they don't go soul winning. You know, what's going to happen to their kids? What kind of example do you set for your kids when you choose to pull them out of a church to go into Egypt for some money? And you think these people are so short-sighted, they're not willing to sacrifice for their kids or for their grandkids. But people who come and go, they don't see the big picture. All they see is the right here and the right now, and I got to get it fixed. And they don't realize that the harm they're causing in the long run. But you and I as Christians, we got to be people who have a big view on life. 2 Corinthians 4, look at verse number 16. The Bible says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Notice what Paul says in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Here we have the Apostle Paul saying that his afflictions were light. You know, a man who was beaten, a man who was imprisoned, he called that a light affliction. And he says, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, you see, how is it done? We'll look at verse 18. Notice, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How is it that you as a Christian won't faint? Because in verse 16, it says, for which cause we faint not. He said, we don't faint because these afflictions, they're minor. These hard times, they're light. They're nothing. How is it done? He says, while we look not at the things which are seen. You see, Paul wasn't focused on that which was physical. Paul wasn't focused on the prison cell. Paul wasn't focused on the beatings. He said, I'm not focused on the things which are seen. He said, but the things which are not seen. See, as a Christian, you and I should not be short-sighted. We got to realize we should have a big vision about our lives. We should have a big view of our lives and realize that whatever trial comes, whatever difficulty comes, that is just a minor, small part of our life. But people who come and go, they'll have a trial come, a difficulty come, and that's all they stare at. That's all they look at. That's all they're focused on. They're looking on that which is temporal, and they don't realize the big picture. Say, hey, you know, what about your kids? You know, what about your spouse? What about your spiritual well-being? What about the people who are lost that only you could have gotten saved? What about those people? But people who come and go, they don't think about that. All they think about is themselves. All they think about is their problems, their little obstacles, and they end up quitting. But you and I should not be like these people. We shouldn't be like most people who are short-sighted. They come and go and realize that our actions have implications to our kids and to our grandkids and so on and so forth. So we should be a people who are not short-sighted. Go to Hebrews 12, if you would. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews 12. And in Hebrews 12, we'll see the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, the man who is definitely not short-sighted. It says in Hebrews 12, verse 1, the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. He says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And here Paul's going to tell us how we run that race. It says, notice, it says, looking unto Jesus. See, our focus should not be on that which is the here and now. Our focus should be on the Lord. It says, the author and finisher of our faith. Notice what it says about Jesus. It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, how was it that the Lord was able to endure the cross? How was it that he was able to endure the shame? You see, the Lord, he took the cross and he endured it, but his eyes were not on the cross. The Lord despised the shame, the Bible says, but you know what? His focus was not on the shame. It says, who for the joy that was set before him. See, the Lord wasn't looking at the cross. He wasn't thinking about the agony, the pain, the suffering he went through. It says he was focused on the joy that was set before him. And how was it that he was able to endure? It's because his focus wasn't on the here and now. No, his focus was on the things ahead, on the fact that he would rise again, on the joy that was set before him. And notice what it says in verse 3. It says, notice, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And this is something I want to tell people who come and go. You know, before you leave, would you consider him? Would you consider him and the suffering that he did? The Bible says, hey, would you consider it? Would you consider the suffering that he went through? The hard times, the dying, the shame, the fact that he was beaten, spat upon, mocked, ridiculed, nailed on the cross for you. Would you consider him before you just decided to throw your life away? It says, just consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest, notice, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. But people who come and go, which are most people, they don't consider him. All they consider is their life, their problems. How can I get rid of this problem right now? And they say, you know what? Egypt just seems a little bit more convenient. And look, when you live a life of the flesh, when you decide to get backslidden, Egypt will seem more convenient. Egypt will seem like a better option, but at the end of the day, it's going to cost you more. So before you decide to leave, just consider him. You know, look unto Jesus. Stop looking at the things which are temporal and realize, hey, what is this going to do to my future? What's this going to do to my kids? What's this going to do to my spouse, to my family? What about the people around me who aren't saved? The loved ones I know who aren't even saved? Who is going to give them the gospel? But most people, they don't consider that. They just consider the here and the now. So you and I, we should be focused on the eternal. Focused, not have a short-sighted, but have a big view about our lives. So number one, people who come and go are all talk. People who come and go seek convenience. And people who come and go are short-sighted. Number four this evening, people who come and go are ungrateful. People who come and go are ungrateful. Go back to Jeremiah 42, if you would. People who come and go are ungrateful people. And this is something, you know, that I've seen just working in this church, is that people who come and go really are ungrateful people. The majority of the times, there's no gratitude. It's not grateful. And we'll see the example straight from the Bible, Jeremiah 42. And look again, verse 2 again, how these people come to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 42, 2, the Bible says, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee. Notice how humbly they come. They're saying, Jeremiah, we beg thee. We beseech thee. Our supplication be accepted before thee. And pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us. Verse number 3, it says, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. Now, why do these people go to Jeremiah? These people go to Jeremiah because they know, hey, this is a man of God. They know, hey, this is a prophet of the Lord. And they come to Jeremiah very respectfully, you know, very graciously, very humbly to Jeremiah and say, hey, show us, because they know that he is a man of God. But notice, when they don't get what they want, when they didn't get the answer they wanted, notice how they treat Jeremiah in Jeremiah 43. In verse number 2, Jeremiah 43, verse 2, it says, then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah. Notice, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, he said, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. It's funny, but in Jeremiah 42, they go to Jeremiah humbly. They say, hey, would you go to the Lord? Would you ask him, tell us what God wants us to do with our lives? They didn't get the answer they wanted, so like a brat, they started whining and complaining. And notice what they called Jeremiah. He said, thou speakest falsely. You know, they called Jeremiah a false prophet, basically. He said, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. They didn't get the answer they wanted, so now what? Now Jeremiah is the enemy. They came humbly, respectfully, knowing that he was a prophet of the Lord. But now they didn't get the answer they wanted, so now what? Now he's just a false prophet. It says in verse number 3, it says, notice, but Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us. for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. Notice, it's funny, but these people are about to disobey the Lord, and it's nobody else's fault but Jeremiah and Baruch, his servant. It's not because they're backslidden. They're not obeying the Lord. They're not saying, oh, Jeremiah. They're not going to Jeremiah and saying, Jeremiah, you know, I appreciate you praying for 10 days. I appreciate you going to God, but you know what? We're just going to go anyway. They're not going to say, hey, I'm backslidden. Hey, I'm not right with God. No, what they're going to do is they're going to say, you know what, Jeremiah, you're a false prophet. They're going to say, Jeremiah, God didn't tell you that. Jeremiah, you're a liar. Oh, no, it's Baruch's fault. It's everyone else's fault but their own. And it's funny how people come to a church like this. They come and they go, and when they leave, it's funny, but they don't leave. They don't tell you the truth why they leave. They don't just say, hey, I left because I was backslidden. They don't say, hey, I left because I'm just not right with God. No, they're going to blame everyone else. Oh, the pastor this. Oh, the pastor that. Oh, he was a false prophet the whole time. Oh, he was a liar. Oh, the people this. It's nobody else's fault but them. And look, what these people should have done is they should have said, Jeremiah, you know, I appreciate you going to God for 10 days. I appreciate you doing that for me. You know, thank you, but, you know, we're backslidden. We're not right with God, so we're just going to go on. You know, that would have been the right thing to do, but these people, they were just ungrateful. It's everyone else's fault but their own. Go if you go to Romans 16, Romans chapter 16. And, you know, it's really irritating when people come to church and then, you know, people invest in them, people help them, spend time with them, encourage them, lift them up, are there for them, they pray for them, they give them the word of God like they asked for, because these people, they got what they asked for. They said, hey, tell me what I should do. All right, well, here it is. Well, they don't like it, so they get upset. It's frustrating because, you know, these people, instead of being grateful for the time that was invested in them, instead of just saying thank you, but you know what, I'm just backslidden, they get upset and it's everyone else's fault but their own. But the truth is, people who come and go are generally just ungrateful people. They're just ungrateful. You should be thankful, but you know, you and I should be thankful for the fact that people have invested time in us. Amen. And the way we're going to make it to the end as a Christian is not only to be thankful, but to stay thankful. It's not only to have gratitude, but to continue to be grateful through the rest of our lives. And I think about the Apostle Paul, who was probably one of the greatest Christians who ever lived. He was a very grateful man for the people that invested in him. Romans 16, look at verse number 3. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, notice, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Verse 5, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who was the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. And it goes on and on. And you can't stop with the names that Paul's throwing out. It's just name after name after name. And here's the thing. If Paul didn't thank all these people, we'd still think he was a great Christian. If Paul didn't take the time to just one by one name these people, you and I would still think he's the best thing ever. But the truth is that Paul was a very grateful man. Paul knew that people invested in him. And the truth is, there's no such thing as a self-made man. You know, you are where you are because people invested in you. You know, you have a mother, you have a father, you have friends, you have family, you have a church, you have a pastor. People who have spent time investing in you. You ought to choose to be grateful in your life. And the way you're going to make it in the long haul is not just to be grateful, but to stay grateful. And realize that people helped you along the way. And I believe this is one of the things that got Paul to go through those things, knowing that he was very grateful for all the people in his life who helped him. So if you're one of these people who come and go, just realize, hey, be grateful for what's been given to you. Be grateful for the time. Don't be like these people who come and go and they're just completely ungrateful for everything they received. Because that is not right. But you and I, if we're going to stay in this for the long haul, we must be grateful people in our lives. So people who come and go, who are they? Number one, they're people who are all talk. People who come and go...